Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10 a.m. We are located just north of 51st Street on Lynn Lane in Broken Arrow. For more information, please check out our website at ablazechurch.org.
Subject of the series that we are currently in, it's called Staying in the Game. And tonight we're going to be focusing on one particular aspect of staying in the game, and that is conquering our fears. Unless our fears are conquered, we probably are not going to be too successful in staying in the game. Would you pray with me? Dear Father, we pray that you would make these moments ahead of us very holy moments, in which you come to us, in which you address us, in the very core of our lives, where fears try to hide and where they try to take over our lives and control us. But Lord, we invite your control in our life, the control of your grace, the control of your help, the control of your love. Make it known to us, we pray this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's a popular area in higher education in which young people are training for a career. And what I'm talking about is to be a sports medicine technician. And you learn all kinds of things because there is a particular thing that can happen in sports. You can get injured. This happens all the time. Injuries can, at best, sideline a person for a little while, but at worst, there can be permanent damage and, on rare occasions, even death. And all the thoughts about that make the grandmas really rather frightened, and I'm looking at one right now, as thinking about, you know, there's her grandson being carried off the field. What's happened? He's got a broken arm. Three teenagers among our grandchildren, every one of them either now or in the past having been involved with some fairly intense, you know, very high-intensity sports that could result in damages and in injuries. And so there have been a lot of visits to the ER, visits to the orthopedic doctors, to the chiropractors, and there have been broken arms, broken legs, back injuries, and sprains, and things like that, even to concussions. So this happens in sports very often. And, you know, one of the reasons I never really got into baseball, the first reason is I was not very good at it, but the second reason was I just didn't want to have a hard baseball, you know, heading toward my head and, you know, and smashing me in the face. I had a certain fear of that. But you know what? Fear is natural. Fear is natural. See, not everybody wants to expose themselves to the damages and the harm that can come, because life is full of danger. You know, whether you are in athletics or not, whether you're in the military or not, whether you're a skydiver or not, there are all kinds of dangers around us. Even if you live a very placid life in which there are very few risks that are taken, maybe the biggest risk you take is stepping off the front porch. But even that, you know, how many broken legs and things like that? And he was okay until his leg broke, and then wasn't long, and he was gone. Well, fear is a very basic emotion. Fear is a basic emotion. We're told that, and I read this recently, that there are four that the strongest, most compelling motives in life are faith, hope, love, and fear. And the article went on to say, and the greatest of these is fear. Gotcha. Okay, the greatest of these is fear. You know, there are phobias in life ranging from A to Z. Yeah. Acrophobia, agoraphobia, arachnophobia, that's A. Z, xenophobia, except it starts with an X, but let's go from A to X. Now, you go pick out a letter, pick out D, for example, fear of dentists, fear of dogs, fear of the dark, fear of the devil. Well, We can never really get away from these fear-inducing kinds of factors that are around in our lives all the time. I mean, no matter how careful we are, no matter how safe we try to play it, those things are there. But today, we are going to be talking about how to conquer those fears. They're going to be there, but how can we conquer them so that they do not control our lives? And the point we're going to make is that in Jesus Christ, there is the resource, the power, which is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead to defang, let's say, the fears so that they do not control us. And if fears control us, again, we're not very likely to stay in the game. Good news is this, that fears can be conquered. But before we get more deeply into that, that some fears are actually good. Some fears keep us safe. The fear of stepping into onrushing traffic, okay? That's a healthy fear. The fear of parking your car and sitting in it on a railroad track. That's a healthy fear. So when moms, they try to make sure their kids have these kinds of cautions and fears. Dads, on the other hand, they try to teach their kids how to take risks. But sometimes even dads have to say, hey, kids, watch it. One time, after I had numerous times told my kids, stay on the sidewalk. Don't get off the sidewalk. Don't step off the curb. Don't go in the road. Don't ride your bikes or your trikes or your whatever you're riding. Don't ever let that happen. But you know what? They didn't pay a whole lot of heed to that, and they'd do these things that they shouldn't be doing. But one day, I was in luck, because a boy down the street rode his bike out into the street, and he got hit by a car. Well, there's the rumpled bicycle, and I could tell by his leg had been broken. So as soon as I knew that 911 had been called, I ran to the house, I grabbed my kids, said, come with me, and you look. This is what happens when you ride your bike in the street. So, reality. Well, there are irrational fears, too, that can be paralyzing. Unnatural fears, fears of things that can hardly even touch us or hurt us. You know, fear of flying. 30% of Americans have a fear of flying. But has anybody that's ever been injured in an airplane? Or what about fear of crowds? Has a crowd ever injured you? Or what about close spaces? Claustrophobia. Has that ever actually injured anyone? So there's a kind of a reality show that goes on, a kind of a fear factor deal. That show was very popular for quite some time, went off the air, but then it was revived again, rebooted in 2017, in which people are called upon to see if they have the courage or the stupidity to step out and just confront their primal fears. Now, think of bobbing for plums in a tub full of snakes. And they'd pair them up, and they'd have to go and do that together. Would that be worth the $50,000 that you might get if you do this successfully? So the fact is, folks, we've got our own little reality show going on in our lives, a kind of a fear factor show. And the Bible actually acknowledges the fact that there are fears all around us. Did you know that the word fear is used in the Bible 266 times? And the word afraid is used 223 times. Now, if you don't believe me, go home and check it out, okay? And let me know if I'm wrong. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, that Pastor Dreyer read just a few moments ago, the word about being afraid. I was afraid, said Adam to God. And the last place we have it is in the book of Revelation chapter 19 in the 5th verse. Well, the Bible also tells us, fear not, or do not be afraid. You know how often that's in the Bible? 366 times, which is a handy number because in a typical year, there are 365 days. So each day, God says to you, do not be afraid. And when there's a leap year, he's got another one right there waiting for you, ready to go. So do not be afraid. What are you afraid of? Or are you afraid to admit that you're afraid of something? Well, that would be another kind of phobia, I guess. Admitting the truth, you know, fear of being alone, fear of failing, fear of public speaking. I have a fear that when the Amazon box comes and I open it up, it's going to say some assembly required. I get afraid when I'm a passenger in the car when my young daughter is driving. Yeah. Well, fear. Fear is the opposite of something. Fear is actually the opposite of faith. Okay? You say, what's the opposite of faith? You say, oh, doubt and unbelief. No. No, the opposite of faith is fear. Where do I get that from? Well, you know the story of where there's a storm at sea and the disciples are in the boat and they are terrified. The waves are high, the winds are strong. We're going to drown, we're going to drown. What did Jesus say? Do not be afraid. And then he says, or you of little faith. So faith, fear, kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum. Well, even in our pursuit of trying to live an effective and a robust Christian way of life, there are typical fears that come to us. Let's think about several of those and see if there are any of these apply to you. One is a fear of failure. Fear of failure. John Maxwell, who's kind of the Christian leadership guru, says that the reason that most people do not attempt great things for God is fear of failure. Maybe nobody else will go along with it. Maybe there's just not enough money. Maybe I'm going to make a fool out of myself. And all those kinds of things that keep people, sets up a barrier, keeps them from even attempting great things for God. If you had the guarantee of success, would you go forward and try great things for God? That is a kind of a question to think about. Or maybe the fear of failure is because there's probably a better idea somewhere out there, and I'm not going to really try it until I get the absolute perfect idea. That's the problem of perfectionism, and the problem of perfectionism is that only God is perfect. And when we strive for perfectionism, we're breaking the very first commandment, aren't we? Because we're setting ourselves up to be God. We want to be perfect. Only God is perfect. Excellence, great. Strive for that. But perfection, leave that to God. Next fear, fear of rejection. If people know that I'm more than just some kind of a superficial, nominal Christian, and I start getting really serious about it, especially in their presence, and I talk about Jesus, and I begin to, they see that I'm praying, and then I take positions on some of the hot-button issues that reflect a biblical point of view, you know, how I think about abortion, how I think about certain things like that. Drugs, maybe about sexuality. Maybe I'm afraid I might lose some friends, might even lose a job. And most scary of all, I might lose an argument. Well, another fear that people could have is a fear about God. Now, there's a healthy fear of God, a fear of God. You don't mess with God. He's the Almighty God. You don't go and disobey Him. You don't trifle with Him. You don't rebel against Him. You don't ignore Him. You do only to your peril. But there's a wrong kind of a fear, and the fear is this: is that if I surrender my whole life and everything that is within me, and just say, okay, it's all yours, and I really follow through on that, that God then says, oh, I've been waiting for that. I'm going to break your toys. I'm going to just, you know, take away all your friends from you, and I'm going to make you poor, and then you're going to have to marry somebody that's repulsive. And, you know, that's the kind of a thing people could be scary, it could seem scary to them. But the problem here is not knowing a lot about the character of God. It's not knowing how much He really loves us. It is not knowing how wise God really is. And see, when you trust God, you trust that He loves you more than you love yourself. You trust that He is wiser than you are. You're trusting that He's got a better plan than anything you could ever, ever come up with. So don't be scared of God, but have the proper kind of fear and respect for God. So if the opposite of fear is faith, the question is, how do we gain that faith? How can we grow in faith so that we are not overcome by fear all of the time, not controlled by fear? So how do you access and grow faith? We're going to talk about several things how to conquer fear. First thing you got to do to conquer fear is face the fear. Admit it. Don't run from it. You know, hey, there's an elephant in the room. I'm afraid. Now, you don't run because fear is a bully. And when you face up to the bully, especially a bully that has already been beaten down and conquered, you do not have to be, you're not obligated to be afraid, because this bully, namely the devil and all the stuff that he tries to bring on into our lives, he has no real power to control, and he only has the power to try to deceive, try to intimidate, and try to accuse us. But in Psalm 56, it says this, and I want you to pay attention to this because it's really important. It says, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Is that an important verse? If it is, let's say it together. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Now, sometimes you have to say to yourself again and again those words, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. And when you're afraid, you say, in God I trust. Okay, you're already lifting it up to God. I will not be afraid. So the thing you do is the second thing is that you turn your face toward Jesus. Now, I said, face your enemy or face the fear, but now face Jesus. Am I contradicting myself here? I don't think so, because when you face Jesus, what you do is you take the face of Jesus and you put it between you and the fear. Now, if you're just looking at the fear, it gets larger and larger and larger, and it begins to control you. But when you take the face of Jesus and you put it between you and the fear, Jesus becomes larger, more significant, more powerful within our lives. And so, since he already has taken care of fear, and when you look at the face of Jesus, you're saying, hey, he's the one who already defeated the devil. He is the one who has already done that. And so, who's stronger, your fears or Jesus? Yeah, you know the obvious. That's a rhetorical question. And so, looking at Jesus as a way of building our faith. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, here's another one to keep in mind all the time, and that is, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Put your mind on him. Let the mind stay on him. Trust in him. And what is the result? What do we get from God when we do that? We have peace. You see, the fears destroy our peace, but when the fears are conquered, when they do not control us any longer, and we're looking at our Lord Jesus, and we are staying our mind on him. Not just an occasional thought, oh, give me a quick verse. But where it becomes your meditation, it becomes what you go back to again and again. How important that is. Now, faith will conquer your fears, or fears will conquer your faith. Up to you. Okay. Another point, and that is Jesus, and this is actually the final point tonight, and that is Jesus has already defeated fear. Jesus so often said, do not be afraid, or fear not. And when Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead, he demolished the platform of fear. And it is not a matter of, you know, your peace in your life is not a matter of how far away is your fear, but how close is Jesus to you. And another verse, this is a very important one, and it was read earlier, but you need to revisit a part of that from the reading from Hebrews chapter 2. And it says, it tells us why Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross that through death, he, that is Jesus, might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. What's that slavery? In this context today, the slavery is the control of fear over our lives. So he entered into death. He conquered, he destroyed through his cross the work of the one who was holding that power of death. He says, let go, devil. You can't have that anymore. It's not yours. And then the result is to deliver people. Now, what about the different fears? All the different fears we have in our life, if you begin to sort through those fears and you get to the bottom one, what is that one? It's the fear of death. Every other fear in life is somehow connected to that fear of death. And here we're going to connect with from the third chapter of Genesis in verse 8, where they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Why did they hide? They were afraid. What were they afraid of? Well, now think about this. God had said, if you eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. They knew that. If you eat of it, you will die. As a matter of fact, Eve quoted that passage with a little extra added to it, to the devil, all right? But that passage, or that they knew that that was the truth, but they disobeyed anyway, even knowing. And so knowing that there was a consequence, when they opened, when they ate that fruit, their eyes were opened, and they recognized, uh-oh. And suddenly they began to experience an emotion that they had never known before. You know what that emotion was? What is it? Fear. For the first time, they experienced the emotion of fear. They were afraid of God because they were afraid of death. Well, maybe if I run away from God, I can run away from death. You know, people do that. They run away from God and they think, oh, now I've run away from my problems. Now I've run away from, you know, consequences in life. No. Well, God doesn't just leave it like that. Now, avoid God, avoid death. You can run, but you can't hide, and you can't stay hidden, because sooner or later, do you know that he catches up with us? Whatever you're trying to hide, okay, he's going to catch up with that. The good idea is, as quickly as possible, bring it to God right away. And the whole issue of conquering your fears, the short answer to how you conquer your fears is you put those fears on Jesus. Because, you see, Jesus was already promised to Adam and Eve in the garden when they had sinned, when they were running away from God, when they were scared to death of him. Yeah. So every fear that we have in life somehow is connected up to the broken relationship, to that hiding away from God. But God calls out, Adam, where are you? Is he calling out because I'm ready to just really lay it on you? I am so upset. I am so angry. I just can't wait to get my hands on you. No, I can't wait to begin the restoration of a relationship, the restoration of the relationship. Now, fear is going to take us off our game, and fear can take us out of the game. So fear has got to be conquered, and yeah, it has been. Someone had to face down those fears, that bully of fear, and that is exactly what Jesus has done for us. He faced even death itself, not just the fears, but death itself. And by suffering death in our place, he removed the sting that death has. And he says, I'm taking that sting into me. You don't have to experience that sting. I just simply call you to a restoration of the relationship. I'm inviting you back to Eden. I'm inviting you back. And so what do we do with our cares? What do we do with our fears? You know, the sensible thing is just to cast them on him, because he took those fears to the cross. Take all your fears, put them to the cross, because there Jesus was nailed. He had that crown of thorns. He was pierced there. He was pierced in the side. He bled as they whipped him and scourged him. And now he is waiting for the opportunity to lavish his love upon his repentant children.